Real Life Christian Church would like to invite you to an informational luncheon on February the 25th, right after the 11 a.m. worship service. You will be given an opportunity to ask questions about why we believe what we believe biblically and why we do the things we do here. Please let us know if you plan to attend by emailing the church office or coming up and seeing Kirby right after church.
Do you enjoy making art? Come hang out with Kenny in the Fellowship Hall. It's February 21st and March 6th for our Real Life Open Art Studio.
God gave each one of us gifts to help other people. And on March the 3rd, we are going to have a volunteer fair and luncheon. During that fair, you will be able to find out all of the areas that we have available and where we have the most need. If you're not serving yet, we encourage you to come and use your God-given talents and gifts to help others. So join us on March the 3rd at 12 p.m.
Bow your heads with me. Dear God, we love you so much. And you love us too. You wrap us in your love like it were armor, so that when we face adversity, when we face anything, you are taking that battle and making it.
The hallelujah in the presence of my enemy. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah.
And he writes to the church at Pergamum these words: "To the one who is victorious, I will give some of the hidden manna. I will also give that person a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to the one who receives it." Jesus called the Christians at Pergamum, some of whom were slipping into idolatry and immorality, to repent. Otherwise, if they didn't, judgment was going to come upon them all. But to all, Jesus built on this connection by announcing that he is the true bread from heaven who gives life to the world. All who come to faith in Jesus will receive bread that feeds their souls. Jesus, the bread of life, opens the door to eternal life. And here in this act of communion, as we partake together of the wafer and the cup, Jesus calls us to live for you in this world. Bless these elements, this hidden manna, as we trust in you for eternal life. Amen. You know, as I look at our congregation, this prayer of thanks for the offering this morning, I invite you to join me in showing our gratitude to God as he leads you to give in what manner he has prospered and blessed you. Let's pray. Holy God, we bring before you our tithes and our offerings, and we understand that we are on a journey that ultimately leads us back to your cross. We pray that you bless our gifts for your unfinished kingdom work, that you remind us as we worship here that this redemption of our lives did not come without a price. Be loving, help us to be generous in Jesus' name. Amen.
Today. Hey, I'm glad you're here. Good morning. You all are good and awake and ready to get started and talk about the mess of our life, right? Is your life a hot mess? Oh, yeah. Essentially, this phrase is popular in our culture to describe something or someone that is out of control. And chaos is often associated with this phrase. Chaos. So in this series, we're talking about the parts of our lives that fall into this category. Last week, we spent some time learning what to do when our family's a hot mess. And that related to all of us as well. Because all of our families are a hot mess. There is no such thing as a non-dysfunctional family. We are all dysfunctional and to some degree. Their schedule is too full. You know, you think you would retire to rest, but that's not what happens, is it? You know, we're going to talk about how chaotic it can be. Now, I am notorious for being a procrastinator.
Does that fit anybody else in the room? Yeah, I am notorious for that. And this is something I've struggled with my whole life. It's not that I'm lazy. It's just when I'm doing something, I look and see something else I'd rather be doing. Is that normal? It's not that it doesn't need to get done that lot more. I was fit to be tied. Because I was thinking of all the other stuff I could be doing during that 4 hours. You been there? Of course, you know, we live here and I got a quarter acre and I get mad because it takes 30 minutes. But in reality, the truth is we all have a scheduling mess in our life. When I was in manufacturing and I was responsible for millions and millions of dollars of product to go out the door every week. And so that stuff had to go out on time, had to be on a schedule. So I lived the last of the month, or we'd be working lots of overtime to try to make it happen. And that didn't make anybody happy, because the guys didn't want to be there working overtime and the boss didn't want to pay them overtime. So we just had to figure this thing out. And every once in a while, some crazy salesman would come in there and say, well, I promised him you'd have this done by the end of the week. And I'd say, well, you take it back and you have to eat your promise, because that can't happen. There's just not enough material and not enough manpower to make that happen. Now, every once in a while we could work it in, but it was a rare thing. And, you know, sometimes we don't like our life so full. In fact, it's a mess. Just trying to figure out how you're going to make the next doctor's appointment or how you're going to make the next function, much less work in church activities. It's hard sometimes, you know. The reason we're talking about our schedules today, because of the repercussions of a chaotic and full schedule, they don't just affect you, do they? They affect those people sitting around you, everybody else in your life. Because when you are stressed because of your schedule, how planned day and that of last Sunday were to go hand in hand. Your schedule is helping create that mess. Now, I want to share with you a few things the Bible has to say, because that's what we're here for, right? What the Bible has to say to help us regain a manageable schedule rather than one of a chaotic hot mess. And the first thing, now this, you're going to find this is kind of crazy. I know your schedule's really full, but you've got to find a Sabbath rest. You have to. And people don't understand that. And we're going to get this out of Genesis chapter 2. If you have your Bible, you can turn it, but it lays the groundwork for us today. What is the first step we can take to reevaluate our schedule to make sure that we're healthy? Healthy. Now, I'm not talking about the way we eat, scheduling in exercise. I'm talking about healthy here, mentally. Because if you're not mentally healthy, everything else suffers. From all the work of creating that he'd done. Now, if you're new to this whole church thing, this may be a new term for you. You may have never heard the term Sabbath. You know, God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and on the seventh day, the Bible says he rested from all the work he was doing. He rested. Now, here's my question. Did the all-powerful, all-knowing, most wonderful, always present God rest because he was tired? No. In fact, Jesus says this in his defense. Biblical tension is essentially when we're reading the Bible and we hold two verses like these in tension to one another. And when we do, we see God is not resting in Genesis 2 because he's tired of the work he's doing. Instead, he's putting into motion a model for us as humans to follow. He's given us an example of what's good for us. He desires for us to become more and more like him each day. Is that true? And if we're going to be more and more like him each day, shouldn't we take a day and rest? Would somebody please talk to Leslie about this? So, last week I mentioned that early in my ministry, I was still working in that factory 60 hours a week. And I was pastoring a church too. Leslie was working full time. And we were going to Bible college and raising a kid. I was wore out. And because Sunday, for if you work in the ministry, you realize that that is not a day of rest. It's a work day. Very much a work day. And so Saturday became our day of rest. We set it aside that the Lord took it off. But now, what happened yesterday on our Saturday? Bling! Hey, can you do this? And it wasn't fun stuff. It wasn't, can you come over and we'll eat pizza and watch a ball game? Can you do this? And then we go, well, wait a minute, this is our day of rest. And we sit down and we get busy. But then that's in your mind, well, I need to get that done. And it's in our minds. And so if I do this now, I won't have to do it on Monday. And it just tears on your rest. So, you know, we set aside that day for our sanity. What's going on in your life at the time, you know, and how do you manage your time? Maybe you can relate with this season in my life. Maybe you've been there or you're living it right now. Either way, you can get the best sleep you've ever had and still feel exhausted. You've been there? Because your mind never stops. Because you haven't made time for this Sabbath rest. And Sabbath rest looks like pausing from the work you've done the other 6 days of the week. But it's something that for yourself. For yourself. Sabbath looks like that. Something laid back that's not part of a busy schedule. Sabbath rest is an act of faith. That means you're going to trust that God's going to give you this rest this day, and the rest of it will be enough time to get done what you need to get done for work or life. You know, personally, now that I'm in the ministry full time and I'm no longer working on Friday in the factory, we usually take Friday. It's not the same kind of list, is it? Those are things we'd like to do. Maybe we got to go run some errands, or we got to clean the garage. I need some help with that sometimes, you know, and it's okay. And you got to have time for yourself. Which day of the week is it? Doesn't matter, does it? It doesn't matter. What do you do what you don't normally do? And if this isn't something you practice, then you might talk about that instead. In God, and He takes care of the rest. So if you got to invest time on yourself, but you got to invest time with God too, you've got to do that. And that's the reason I got these two jars up here. You know what these are for? These are for Leslie to take away my rest as we got to can vegetables. No, these jars represent something. This is your time for the whole day. Your time for your whole day, your whole week goes into this jar. And you take that time and you spend some time with God. You decide you're going to spend some time with God and you spend just a little bit of time with Him. Schedule is so full, and you haven't spent any time with your Father in heaven, and you haven't invested in yourself spiritually. Or you can pour more of God into there. Pour more God into your own life. And I dropped it. This one's for me to drink. But you can pour more and more God into your life, and He gets more full. And wouldn't you rather to be able to pour more of you into your family and your friends spiritually because you've spent time with God? Because what you put in is what you have to pour out. Until time, you can pick up the Bible, and then all we've got is a whole lot of head knowledge that would never truly sink down into our hearts. I'm talking about taking time. Time. Now, I want to direct you to the real importance of this in Psalms. Psalms 84:10. And it's one that can radically reshape the way you think about the time invested with God, especially in relation to where it fits into your schedule. See, here's what he says. He says, better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. Now, why do you think we'll be talking about the next election on the news? If we ever figure out who we're going to vote for on this one, or who's even going to be on the ballot. But in reality, a lot changes in 3 years. 3 years is a long time, isn't it? And it says it's better to spend one day, 24 hours in the presence of God than 1,000 without Him. 24 hours of good quality time is better than 1,000. That means 10 good minutes with God is better than 1,000. Now, the writer of the psalm, sometimes I give God part of my day. You know, my day, I find it difficult to have personal time with God because I spend so much time preparing these messages. So to have personal time is difficult. So yesterday, Leslie was in the back of the house doing something, and I took a few minutes and I opened up my Bible app on my phone, and I'm reading the book of Leviticus, and I go, things about me. And most of it was physical stuff. I'm not going to tell you what it was, but still. In Leviticus, it was like, what? But then I remembered that Jesus came, and He changed that. And He uses somebody broken and imperfect like me to try to reach people in His name. Because I took some time to allow God to work with me, it changed me. It changed me yesterday. You know, maybe you're sitting here today and you're at the end of yourself. When you wake up in the morning, maybe you need, instead of checking emails or looking at your calendar or scrolling through social media, you first physically get out of bed and pore over your Bible to have some time with God. Or maybe that doesn't work for you. Maybe you're like me and I need like 6 cups of coffee before I can do that. And it's an evening activity. The work day is finished and prior to going to bed, you want to end the day with your Father. Now, I'm not going to stand here and tell you when or where to find your time with God during your day. I'm just saying try something. Try it. You will never regret it, don't we? You know, scholars believe that Jesus was on this earth for 33 years prior to His death and resurrection. And from what the Bible tells us, He spent about 3 of those years working miracles, teaching the crowds of people and healing the sick. And scriptures tell us very little about Jesus as a child. But there's one section in Luke 2 that talks about Him. He's about 12 years old. And let's read that from Luke 2, verse 41 to 49. And I know you're getting hungry, and some of you are looking at your watch, and it won't be long. We'll be out of here, and you'll be eating. But I want you to remember this. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. They were in His company. They traveled for a day without their kid. We'd call social services now, wouldn't we? But then they began looking for Him. This is where they got the Home Alone movie. I really believe it. You know, among their relatives and friends, they were looking for Him. And when they did not find Him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for Him. And it gets even better. After 3 days, that makes 4, right? After 3 days, they found Him in the temple court, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard Him was amazed at His understanding and His answers. He had to be in His Father's house. Another translation says, I should be involved in my Father's affairs. Now listen to me. This is truly the foundational key to taking your schedule from a hot mess to managing your calendar. We live in a world, it's all about managing your time. And maybe the action step you need to partake in today is very, very simple. Yet it's very hard to do. Give God control of your schedule. That's hard, isn't it? Because you get to take the shots and make the schedule. Can you believe that? Can you? This is a giant step of faith. But it's a necessary one to get your chaotic schedule under control and in the hands of God. If you practice enough, you will learn to trust in Jesus. Trust God. Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find it. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. And if you pour into him and he pours into you, your priorities begin to change, don't they? You'll be about the Father's business. You will intertwine the gospel message into everything you find yourself doing. Everything will be about Jesus. People will notice it. Your family will notice it. Your coworkers will notice it. And we will notice it here. You finally will find time for Sabbath rest each week. And it won't seem like a burden. You'll set a time each day. I don't know what you have going on in your life at the moment. And I don't know what you may need to change or adjust to feel at peace. And I've shared just a little bit about how all this looks for me. But seeing how you and I are different, I wouldn't expect you to do it just like I do. I don't expect you to do the things that I do, but I do expect you to try. God expects you to give it a try. And with that said, I hope you can see that the principles we can glean from Scripture. It's important for God, and it's important for you. I mean, in Mark 2, Jesus said the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. God gave you a day for rest for you. You need it. Consider taking a step of faith today and cultivate a peace-filled life of blessing and joy. You see, before you can have the rest that God promises, you have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. The Bible speaks often about having the peace that comes from knowing God. And you can only get that peace in the church today. I know what it's like. You got kids, and you're trying to make it work, and you're going out the door, and you're just lucky to get their clothes on. And then you go out the door. I have went out the door and realized I didn't even put socks on. You ever done that? One time I went to church with two different shoes. Because I allowed my schedule to be a mess. And Jesus says, come to me when you carry it. But you have to have a relationship with him first. It starts by knowing the one who loved you enough to die for you. The one who was willing to go to the cross. Even though he knew your life was going to be a hot mess. He knew you were going to struggle. He knew you were going to have kids and teenagers and grandkids and work and sickness and death and all these things that life brings at us that we have to figure out. He knew it was going to go. But for some reason, we take our mess and we fold it up and we stuff it in our pockets and we carry it around with us. And it just kind of gets in the way, doesn't it? We want to spend more time with God. We want to make sure that we're focused on him when we get to church. We want to make sure we pour out spiritually into our family and our friends and our coworkers. And he comes down and he helps you clean it up. And it might be through some friends that you meet here at church. It might be through a small group that you join. Or it might be just on your knees in your bedroom. But he helps you clean it up. If that's you, you have an opportunity today. You can come forward. We'll pray about it. And we'll give it to God. But you have to choose it. What choice do you need to make?
I stronger than
It never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up. It never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up. It never runs out on me. Your love. Your love never fails, it never gives up. It never runs out on me. It never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up. It never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up. It never runs out on me. Your love.
Come and see me or Leslie and tell us that you're coming so I can make sure you have something to eat next week when we have this dinner. So if that's you, please see us. Also, there's offering envelopes out there. This is the last week they're going to be out there. So if you need an envelope to remind you to give, it's a good idea. An idea to give, you can pick them up. And if you're visiting with us, I need you to stop out there at that desk and we have a gift for you because we're so glad you came to visit us here. Because here at Real Life Christian Church, we care about community. We care about being the church. And we're pushing being a community of believers. It's just and that's how we really get to know one another. You all see each other here for an hour on Sunday, but you don't really know each other until you participate in some of these things we do. And that's why we're going to set it up. We've got a bonfire coming up and some things like that for an opportunity for you to meet each other and hopefully like each other. All right. Now, I don't have anything else other than, hey, let's go out and show people the love of Jesus. That's what this is all about. Let's go be the church. All right, Kenny, will you dismiss us?
Dear God, thank you for everything.
Thanks, guys.